Scripture reading be taken from Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 through 35. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples.
I know of some preachers who are no longer preaching. Some of these men no longer attend worship. I can name some elders who are no longer working in the Lord's service. There are names of deacons who have gone back into the world. Children, husbands, and wives have all left the faith. For the past couple of weeks, we have done some thinking about church dropouts and members who are weak. We noted that close to 75% of all people who claim to be religious at one time or another somehow drop out or become weak. We've paid attention to the subject of commitment and the lack thereof. We've examined how active and inactive church members see each other. This morning I want to direct our attention to the first of two points. That is the problem of weakness, the problem of church dropouts. That can be a short-term problem. That's the topic for today. Or it can be a long-term problem. That's the subject, the intended subject for next week. When I think about a short-term dropout, the best example that comes to my mind is the Apostle Peter. Before Jesus was apprehended, Peter, from the scripture that was just read, made a very strong commitment to Jesus. In Matthew 26:33, he boldly said that he would never be offended by the Lord. But as we look at our next reference, Luke 22, verses 55 through 57, we find that that was not the case. Peter was a man who said, "Jesus, I am ready to die in your service and for your cause." Not too long after this statement was made, we find from Luke 22 that he had a very different kind of commitment. Starting with verse 55 of Luke 22, "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the court and had sat down together, Peter sat in the midst of them. And a certain maid, seeing him as he sat in the light of the fire and looking steadfastly upon him, said, 'This man also was with him.' But he," that is Peter, "denied, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.'" On this occasion, it was affirmed that Peter was one of the Lord's disciples, but Peter made a denial. He made a very firm denial. Perhaps we can put his denial into a more modern setting. Imagine, if you will, someone who worships with this congregation, someone who is sitting here this morning, and a member of the community says to this individual, "You worship with the Goshen Church of Christ." And the person says, "Oh no, not me. I do not worship there. I've never been in the building. I do not know who the church leaders are. I do not know when the service times are. I know absolutely nothing about the Goshen Church of Christ." If we can imagine that kind of situation, that's really parallel to what we have in Luke 22, verses 55 through 57. This is the type of denial that Peter made. In addition to denying that he knew Jesus, there is information in John 18, 25, our next reference, that shows that Peter denied that he was a disciple. It was bad enough to deny that he was familiar with Jesus, but here, Peter upped the ante, shall we say. Jesus was being sent to the high priest. Peter was in the area, but still not very faithful. He was trying to get warm, and while he was around the fire, he said this, "Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said therefore unto him, 'Art thou also one of his disciples?' He denied and said, 'I am not.'" Peter was an apostle. This man was one of the chosen. He was an individual who had been part of the Lord's inner circle. But on this occasion, he said, "I am not one of his. I do not belong to him. I am not one of his disciples." This man, as you look at the denials, was someone who was backsliding, a person who was tumbling downhill. The passage that seems to complete the picture is found in Matthew's account. Towards the end of his gospel, Matthew 26, verse 70. It was bad enough for Peter to say that he did not know the Lord. Saying that he was not a disciple was worse. But the depth of his denials, again, is found in Matthew 26, verse 70, right at the end of the chapter. "But he denied before them all, saying, 'I know not what thou sayest.'" bad enough to make a denial in private, bad enough to make a denial in front of two or three people. But here the text says, before them all, he denied being associated with Jesus. Well, the Lord knew that Peter would do what he did. Jesus knew that Peter would fall so hard and so fast that he said in Luke 22, verse 32, that he was praying for him. Jesus, in thinking about the apostasy that this man would experience and how bad it was going to be, Jesus said, I've made special intercession for you. In the 32nd verse of Luke 22, the Bible says, but I have made supplication for thee, that thy faith fail not, and that when you turn, that you can establish your brethren. Jesus did not want Peter's faith to fail. I looked at that word fail this past week, and it is an interesting word. About 100 years before Jesus came into the world, this word described the renunciation of a lease. It would be like a person who goes to the apartment manager and says, I want to lease an apartment. I want to lease it for 6 months, or I want to lease it for a year. But before the contract is up, before that year is up, the person breaks the lease. That's the idea here. In the LXX, that is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures, I found that the word is used in Genesis 8, verse 13. It's used to describe the evaporation of water. And both of these images are helpful. They're good illustrations of what happens when a person becomes a delinquent Christian. A Christian's commitment is broken, just as the lease is broken, and a Christian's spiritual life can literally wither up, just as this word described the evaporation of water in Genesis 8, verse 13. Peter had promised to keep his commitment to the Lord, but from the passages that we've looked at, we found that such was not done. What happened to this man can happen to any person who's in this room, and that includes me. Someone might ask the question, well, why did Peter engage in this apostasy? Why did Jesus pray that his faith would not fail, that it would not dry up or evaporate, at least for a little period of time? When we look at Peter, there seems to be a variety of answers, a number of reasons why he had these problems, one of which was pride. He was the man who came to Jesus and said, oh, others might leave you, but not me. I'm going to be the one who will be steadfast. I'll stay by you no matter what the cost. Even if it requires my life, I will not leave. You remember from Proverbs 16:18 in the Old Testament, the warning that pride goes before the fall? That's exemplified in Peter's life. I know of a preacher who boasted to me off and on for a number of years, the last time was about a year ago, how he was still preaching. About 15 years after he had graduated from school, he had noticed that a lot of other classmates had gone by the wayside. They had stopped, but he was still going strong. 6 months later, I received a note from him that said, I'm going back into the world. Not that he was going to apostatize, but he was going to stop preaching and draw a paycheck from the world. Jesus taught that humility is one of the first steps to being a Christian in the kingdom of God. He said that whosoever shall humble himself shall be great in the kingdom of God. When a person loses his or her humility, they are in the process of taking the first step backwards. Peter had to learn these lessons the hard way. Another difficulty that affected Peter was in the area of alertness. The Bible repeatedly warns Christians to be alert, to be on guard. In 1 Peter 5:8, we are warned to be watchful because Satan is like a roaring lion. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the writer said we need to give the more earnest things to the things that we've heard, the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest happily we drift away from them. That's the reason. He recognized that the people of God can be drawn away. So the Hebrew writer, in talking to the people who were being drawn away, said, watch out. This is a warning. You need to be careful because you are slipping, you're falling away from the living God. Another difficulty that affected Peter was fear. He was put into a position where he was charged with being associated with Jesus, we might say being an accomplice. The people who were around him said, you are one of them. And Peter said, oh no, not me. At the present time, there are occasions when God's people have their faith tested, and tested hard. If we are like the three seeds in Luke 8 or Mark 4, we're not going to do very well. 75% of the seeds in the parable that Jesus gave did not last. So when we think about our commitment to God, it must be the kind of commitment which is unflinching. A kind of commitment which says we will not give in. We will not surrender our faith and our commitment and our dedication to God and His Word no matter what. Fear and worry are ongoing detriments to the Christian life. Peter faced these things, and they, for a short period of time, destroyed him. Fear so gripped this man that he denied Jesus, even though he was part of the inner circle. Another problem that Peter faced was the company that he kept. Can we, as we think about the Christians who we have known in the past and know now, can we call to mind at least one example of a Christian who got in with the wrong crowd and he or she left the faith? I can name some. It may have happened when a young person was in the pre-high school years or in high school, in college. May have been because they were associated with the wrong person in the neighborhood, perhaps a problem in the home, maybe at work. But it happens to those who are young and to those who are not. As you look at Peter, you find from Matthew 26, verse 58, that he sat with the officers. And that was the wrong place to be. You find a little later in Peter's life, Acts chapter 1, that he was sitting with the people who were godly people, good people, and praying. But when he was in the wrong place, and when he was with the wrong people, the Bible says that he denied his Lord. And that tells me something about apostasy. When people are in the wrong place, when they surround themselves with the wrong folks, they make wrong choices. This man made choices that ultimately caused him to deny Jesus in a variety of ways. And this is what apostasy, whether it's short-term or long-term, still does to people. If we are not as faithful and as active as we can be in the Lord's service, there is some sense in which we are denying Jesus. We deny him of the time that he deserves, of the love that he deserves, of the honor and worship that he deserves. In some cases, this is a short-term problem. We find that as we look at Peter and his life, that he did not leave the faith for years and years. He suffered, shall we say, a short-term lapse. It was serious, but it was not prolonged. And what this man did provides for us an important point of application. There are cases. There are times when people are weak for a short period of time, or they leave the faith for a little while. There's some Christians who have, shall we say, a momentary lapse. And that moment may be a period during a day, a week, or perhaps several weeks. As you look at Peter, you find that this kind of lapse is something that needs to be recognized and dealt with, because he did. Here's a man who understood his condition, and the Bible says that he repented. In Matthew 26, 75, we're told that he went out. And as he went out, he knew what he had done. The Bible says he wept bitterly. In Mark 14, verse 72, Mark's account of this, the Bible says, Peter called to mind the Lord's prediction. And again, it was the word of God that pierced his heart. When a Christian begins to slip from the faith, there needs to be a consideration of God's word. How does my life match up with what Scripture says? If people will not do that, then they're very far down the road on apostasy. But when the word of God is able to prick the hearts of people, and it should, then people are in a situation where they can receive help and strength. Peter had these kinds of thoughts. Thankfully, he had a heart that was good enough to listen to the words of Jesus. He allowed the word of God, just as the people did on the day of Pentecost, to prick his heart, and he repented. Mark adds, as he thought about what he had done, as he gave consideration to his state, he wept. Last week, it was argued that the word of God is the way that we find God helps Christians, often helps Christians who are slipping. And that's exactly what we find at the end of Mark 14. If the word of God cannot pierce the heart of someone who is weak or someone who has slipped away from the faith, nothing else can. We see that in Acts chapter 2. We see that in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, where the Bible says the word of God works in us. Peter was someone who saw a state, and he decided that that was the wrong place to be. He no longer wanted to be weak. He no longer wanted to be someone who was denying Jesus, so he came back to the Lord. Each Christian who is weak, whether it's for a short period of time or a long period of time, they can be strengthened. Those who are not dedicated can be restored. The road to apostasy is often gradual. But once people start down that path, it's like a snowball. It just gets easier and faster and quicker, and before people know it, they've entered into an area that's not good and very, very difficult to return home. As we think about Peter, we must ask the ultimate question, what about our own selves and our own lives? Are we someone who at the present time who is weak? Someone who needs to be strengthened? Strengthened before it's too late? Or are we someone who has, in one way or another, left the faith, departed from God? Apostasy is a very serious matter. People can leave a lot of things. But when we think about leaving Christ or leaving the church, then we've abandoned the Lord, because the Bible says the church is his body. Without Christ, we're not in the body. Without the body, we're not in Christ. It's as simple as that. So this morning, when we think about the example from Peter, he found that he had a problem, and he was willing to write it. If you're someone here who is in a state similar to his condition? Will you not make the same kind of commitment that he did? Will you not have that same level of courage, the same love for the Lord, and to say, I'm going to right my relationship with God? If you've not become a Christian this morning, just like Peter, you can become a disciple of the Lord. When he dealt with people on the day of Pentecost, the people who believed were told to repent, to be living according to God's word, to change their lives so that they were living in a way that God was pleased with, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. And once that was done, the Bible says that the Lord added those people to his body, to the church. He'll do the same today. Can we help you become a Christian, or can we help strengthen you in some way? Those are the questions that we're asking as we stand and sing.